It looks like it's time to start. I'd like to welcome everybody to this Belbond Board meeting on January 9th, 2013. And I think we'll start out by turning it over to Suzette. She's going to introduce somebody to us. Kathy.
Stand up. This is Kathy Burton. She's the alcohol replacement. and she will be handling bail issues, and she's already been handling bail issues, and so she'll be here to put in contact.
Welcome, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, how long can we have her for?
I'm planning on being here for at least another 10 years, so.
Great.
Kathy, maybe you could tell a little bit of your background with the department.
Sure.
Kathy, is it new to the insurance department?
I'm new to the insurance department, but I'm actually an old-time state employee. I've been here for over 30 years. I started out my career with the Department of Recovery Services, and so I did a lot of investigations with them and presented at hearings, administrative hearings, and also some judicial. Worked my way up there became a manager, and it was actually over 27 people over there in the child support end of it. And then my husband actually happens to have been in administration over at Recovery Services, so when we got married, I quit my job for a bit and came back to the state, and worked Office of Debt Collection, did that for about 4 years, and then I had an opportunity to come to the insurance department. And so I started out in producer licensing and got a little bit of a background there, and then this opportunity came up, and so now I'm in the bail bonds area of market conduct.
With that background, I think I will hope for a lot more in our industry, for sure. Good
there,
choice.
Welcome aboard. Some of the same clients over the years.
I think you'd be surprised how many of them are. Okay, everybody can read through the minutes. Okay, somebody to adopt. Motion to adopt the minutes.
I move to adopt the minutes.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Pete. All in favor? All opposed? Motion carries. Next, I don't believe we have anything for the executive session. So next, we will have summary enforcement reports by Kathy.
Yes. All right. This just covers the reporting period of October through December. And so the complaints that were four that were open, two that were closed. There were no audits that were actually conducted during that time frame. There were nine investigations open, and six of them have been closed. There was one e-case that was opened, and then one e-case that was closed. So in the last 90 days, four of the i-cases have remained open. There's one e-case that's within that time frame, and then there are two that are open over 180 days.
Pretty quiet.
Yeah. It'll get busy with Christmas time, so, yeah.
Just on a side note, as far as the audits, I think we talked about that before with Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he mentioned it was probably going to be a year or two before any other audits were conducted. Is that a feeling still?
That is still a feeling, yes.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Gary.
On the complaints, is there going to be a follow-up to the complaints that if it's going to be closed or acted upon or is acted upon, the results of that?
I generally do send out a letter I'm learning it. Let me go ahead and check on that part of it, though.
like we have no applications. Old business. Our insurance company as per 31A-35-102 and 401. Gordon.
Ted, have we got an answer to that?
Well, what I was told by my attorney general is that the language may be slightly conflicting because what you think of a company is different than how the statute was written. And you are considered an agency, not a company.
Can I say that again? We're considered
considered an agency, not a company or an insurer. You're not an insurer. You are an agency. Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're gonna say. Or, so are we subject to the insurance code or not?
Yes.
Of course.
All right, that's what I want to know.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions on that?
No.
New business. What can the board do to assist the department, and what role can they play? Zet and Brett, looks like they've given us all a memorandum here. I hope everybody's read that.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. If I may address that. Last meeting, the board had asked the department for some input and some feedback with regard to what the department felt like the board could do in their role to assist the department. And so we went back and we had some internal discussions, and we've put a pen to paper and come up with this brief memo for you. As you know, and as Perry outlined at the last meeting in October, the board has certain statutory obligations and certain statutory duties. And so what these bullet points here are really in addition to what's spelled out in the statutes. What we as the department find invaluable is, you know, if I could sum it up in one sentence, it's feet on the ground feedback of what's going on in the industry. And if you look at these bullet points, which Suzette and I worked on together, what's going on in the jails? What are you seeing? Where can we help? You know, if there's violations occurring in the jail, we want to know about them so that we can go and make sure that people are competing on an even footing. What do you see going on the website? So there, you know, are some of the actors in the industry not following the law and again creating an uncompetitive environment? For me personally, I very much appreciate feedback like I received on the bulletin that we recently issued on immigration bonds. That was extremely helpful to be able to get a feet on the ground sense of really what's going on and where we need to direct that. And so proposed legislation, as you recall, a year ago, there was an idea to revamp much of Chapter 35. There was a very healthy discussion with regard to that, and ultimately there were a number of things that were changed that were important to the department that we got the bail board bonds buy-in for, and we appreciate that, and we think that it helps the marketplace. So that's kind of what the department appreciates most from the bail bond board is that type of feedback in addition to statutory responsibilities. And Suzette, I don't know if you have anything you want to add, or Kathy.
I think you're covered.
Just one comment on that. This outlines how we can help you, and we fully intend to do that as a board. We stressed before, if we're not adding and contributing, there's no need for us to be here. And I was thinking also, when Jamie was here, she developed a relationship with some of the courts and the court clerks in handling some of the issues that we had. And I, as a bondsman, I think probably everybody else would agree in the room that Jamie was able to alleviate a lot of problems with some of the courts and court clerks. Helping them understand the rule, when we talk to a court clerk or somebody, we're the evil bondsman. And when somebody from the department maybe talks to them or helps them see something, they're a lot more willing to listen and a lot more willing to work. And that, to me, made a huge difference. I want to thank Gordon and Craig and people in the office, because she alleviated a lot of problems for us with the courts. And I've noticed since she's been gone, some of those things are starting to rear their head. I don't know if you've had some of the problems with potatoes or things again. But anyway, maybe we can talk about that a little later. But I really appreciated that about Jamie. And I, with your background, I'm sure we're going to have the same success. I would just encourage that maybe some of those lines are kept open and
yeah,
and
I've been talking a little bit with some of the courts, but yeah, that's a good suggestion.
It's, we really appreciate that.
Mr. Chair, maybe if I may make a recommendation as a non-voting board member, perhaps we could have a report back at our next meeting about the progress and the outreach efforts the department is doing along those lines. That's excellent feedback, and we'd like to be, as a department, like to be accountable to the board and provide you feedback with the recommendation.
Absolutely. Any other comments on any of those things? Gary.
You knew I
can't have a meeting without Gary Zachman.
One thing, I just want to note a bit of irony. The state is auditing the Department of Insurance. I applaud that. Second is the board feels somewhat handicapped as to what they're able to do and what their purpose is. And state legislation mandates that you guys do certain things, and I don't believe that you're doing it. So with all the lawyers in the room, I just kind of wonder if we couldn't get an opinion. If the statute says you shall do something, then if you don't do that, you should be somewhat in violation or remiss, at least in your duty, to the statutes. And I'm talking about 201, 202, in that section. It says that you will recommend all renewals, all suspensions, and all applications for both individuals and agencies. And I don't believe the only time, to my knowledge, all you're seeing is new applications from agencies and nothing in the way of renewal. And they're not being equipped with the information to make those decisions as to the suspensions or the revocations and whatever.
I would look toward all the attorneys in this room to give us some feedback. Perry, what do you think?
I think that when they're presented your, so let's look at each one. Granting, the granting of a license. And this is for, you have to look at the whole thing, right? The board shall recommend to the commissioner action regarding the granting of the bail bond surety company license. So it's a company license, not individual agent licenses. We do that. We don't get a lot of them. We do that though, right? That's the application.
Yes.
The renewing. So renewals are, that I'm looking to, when renewals are one time a year?
Bail, yes.
July.
So we probably haven't done that for a little while.
Probably since it became an electronic renewal.
Okay, suspending. So that, we in the last meeting we talked about that. So if we have an action that results in a suspension, and that should be brought to you. We haven't had one of those for quite a while. And the revoking, same thing. Suspending and revoking. And sorry, I forgot this is it. And then the reinstating. Well, I don't know that we've had a reinstatement of bail license. A bail surety company license since I've been doing this. I can't think of one.
How often does it say we have to meet here?
I'm sorry?
How often does it say that we are supposed to meet?
Quarterly.
Now, I could be misinformed, but I thought that there was a suspension of a license.
I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah, there's also been written statements.
I said, with that suspension, was it
have a company license or an individual
company
agent?
Company license.
Has there? So I don't know.
And that's one that we were trying to follow, and we had a hard time getting any information on.
Is that the one down in Utah County?
Well, there was one there, and then there was one.
One in Weber County.
There was one in Weber County, and there was one, the one I'm thinking about, is here in the valley.
Do you have any particular reason I have to look?
Okay. I don't think we can't do that right now and bring this thing out in the general session.
So maybe I'll just remind the department that if those things come up, that they be brought before the board.
I have a question about automatic reloads. Isn't there some kind of printout that shows who's automatically reloaded?
Printout for whom?
For someone to.
A report
is renewed?
I think it's a report, but it's numerical. I mean, we could pull a number, we could create a program that would list it, but we don't get one automatically.
The bottom line, and Perry, correct me if I'm wrong, but the statute seems to me to be a bit outdated in that many of those functions that you are listing that we make recommendations on, our recommendations really are meaningless based upon their property interest in having that license renewed as long as they meet certain qualifications, and don't really meet the statute or meet the process as it's set up in the Department of Insurance. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what this, just because the board says no and they don't have any legal basis to say no.
Right, and when it comes to enforcements and the hearings and the recommendations that we make, we're a bit superfluous when there is a whole alternative route that is used to assure due process to people when they have an investigation and then a sanction against them. Is that correct? I mean, we're just a cog. We don't really have any impact in what takes place.
Probably not in what takes place, but you probably have an impact on when we look at a fine or repeat offender.
Mm-hmm.
And we would look at that, first time, slap your hand kind of thing, but second time, we're going to have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason why we couldn't discuss that part of it.
We don't know who's being investigated or what they're being investigated for or where the investigation is. We know the number of complaints that are made. And I understand the reason behind this and I understand why the change. But it seems to me that we need to rubber stamp what you're doing once a quarter and then move on. And are we really serving a purpose in doing that?
Are we meeting the intention?
Does the statute need to be changed, or do we need to really look at what our responsibilities are?
And I think that we probably do need to look at the responsibilities, and it may cause a statute change. Because our processes have changed quite a bit in the last
year. Right.
And this was written, majority of it, at least 15, 16 years ago.
I enjoy being a part of the process, I enjoy being a part of this, but I don't want to feel like I'm just coming to fill a role that's really not necessary.
Totally understood.
Just because it's written in a statute.
Yeah. I say, I think we all feel that way, and we're here and we devote our time to try to make it a better industry. I think in the last year we've all expressed the same feeling. Are we making a difference or not?
If we're going to look at what you've outlined here, this is basically a self-policing. People within the industry. I'm almost sure that any bail bondsman that runs an ethical operation would do all of this. So they would file a complaint with the department.
Regardless if they're on board.
Right. Okay. So in light... And following up with what Laura and Brad commented on, it just seems like, is there a real purpose? And so if you automatically renew, it would be nice for this board to see those individuals who were renewed as opposed, so they may offer some comment. They may have some information as opposed to a general Dale Bogsman that's not a member of the board.
And in the beginning, I think the way it was like you said, it's self-police. Okay. People would bring these complaints to the division, and in the beginning, those were brought to us. We could see them. We could direct.
So why was that changed?
And now it isn't there.
Was that changed because we shouldn't have done that in the beginning?
I'm sorry, which part?
Where the complaints would initially come to the board, so they knew who the investigation was about, or what the investigation was about.
Well, we can't try. The statute changed, because it used to be that the board should conduct investigations, and now it's just a may. And then there were concerns about the confidentiality of what was going on with regards to individuals. And then when you look at this section, 31A, 35202, 1D, it doesn't talk about recommendations to the commissioners regarding investigations. It only talks about the granting, renewing, suspending, revoking, or reinstating the license to a surety company, not to individuals. So I think there's been a lot of change kind of over the years based on, you know, kind of trial and error.
But have those changes really rendered the necessity for our board
possible?
Would you like to change
yes.
legislation or change rule so that we become a bigger part of this and we can have input? Or is it going to keep evolving the way it is to where we really don't have a purpose? I guess would be the real question. Which direction does a department want to go?
Well, I don't know that this is a direct answer to your question, but this memo the department believes that the bail bond board can help us with, I think could be accomplished, as Laura indicated in the minutes in the last meeting, perhaps through an association. So, you know, the sounding board, the feedback, what's going on in the industry, what can we do to work better together, how can we help the industry and the competitive market here. As far as the role of the board and getting into, you know, investigations and whatnot, there are those confidentiality issues that that Perry indicated. You know, certainly the board can go into closed session for enumerated reasons. I don't know what the answer is.
I've got a question.
It's a simple question. Do you like having a board, or would it be easier for you to not have a board?
That's a loaded question.
I understand that, but that's really what it boils down to, isn't it?
I think we're here to help serve the industry. And I think the purpose of the board is probably to help serve the industry, at least it was at the beginning. Gary, remind me if I'm misspeaking, okay? Or Tom. But at the very beginning, we had a lot of controversial stuff going on. Big time controversial stuff. I mean, people coming in with guns, the whole thing. So it was a slightly different atmosphere. And moving from courts to here, that was a big adjustment. And I think when that happened, the board was created to give you a bigger voice than what you have when you go to courts.
And from my perspective, to answer your question directly, it would be easier for the department not to have the board. I mean, we do expend resources, which, you know, we get some money for, as we discussed at the last meeting, based on your agenda item, Gordon. It would be easier. If the board were to go away, the department would still want to have some sort of a mechanism, whether that be an advisory board formed by the commissioner, which he has the power to do that under the statutes, or some other mechanism to maintain a relationship with the industry in a formalized setting.
Right now you have to, because it's statutory. I mean, nothing's going to happen unless there's a statutory change. I'm just putting it out there that it seems as though something needs to be done to change the situation, because right now it's really not really serving much purpose.
And you said, and a recommending board, that's basically, this oversight board is termed into a recommendation, but we don't even really recommend much anything unless it's a new license. Mike, one question I have is in Department of Insurance, in other divisions, when you have meetings, are these confidential confidentiality problems universal, or are names and things brought out in other issues in other boards? Or in real estate and insurance and everything else, when you guys go into a meeting, such as we are, is all the information taken off the table for them?
We really only have one other group that's similar to the bail bond board within the insurance department. That is the title commission. The title commission, they do have rulemaking authority, and their authority is, they have more authority than the bail bond board. But as far as investigations and reports that are made public, those are also sanitized to protect, you know, potentially innocent people, because the investigations are confidential. Perry also represents the Title Commission Board, and although I can't speak for the Real Estate Board, I don't know if Perry can from one of her colleagues' point of view as to what other boards do.
Real estate is very similar to title. In fact, the Title Commission was formulated after real estate, but very different than this board. This board is more an advisory board, while real estate and title have more statutory authority than this board does.
And they're both appointed by the governor.
Right, whereas this board's the commissioner.
As far as advisory boards go, to just go one step further, the Department of Insurance, through the commissioner, does meet with the Property and Casualty Advisory Board, and you know they have it's less formal than this, but we've got meetings usually, depending on you know what issues are out there, they're more or less frequent. They're always right before the session, maybe during the session if we need one, generally after the session. You know, kind of what's going to happen, what's happening, and what just happened. The same with the life industry, the same with the health industry. So it is, you know, we do it, and we need that sort of input because we don't have feet on the ground other than the good work Kathy is doing, you know, visiting with you and doing her job.
But didn't this board evolve from the work with the association at the start?
No.
Is there an association?
There is an association.
Is everybody a member? No. But it seems to me that if the board doesn't exist, that the state should work hand in hand with the association, whether everybody's a member of it or not, because that's where the concerns are at. I mean, the association can come to the board and say, these are the items that we need help with. These are the items that you people can help us with, and these are the items that we can help you with.
But the board should represent a broader cross-section than just the people that are members of the association.
I think that was the intent. That's the way it started out. I'm just looking at the evolution and where it's gone. I think we're at a point where we need to say, we need to change it statutorily and move it in a different direction. Or if it's going to keep going like this, what do we really do?
Right. Well, first I think we should consider a meeting schedule as once a quarter instead of once every month. It just seems to be a lot of extra work and a lot of resources to be spent on something where we only really need to meet once a quarter anyway.
I'm glad Laura brought that up because I've been putting off till about once a quarter, and I think we probably just had a schedule for once a quarter.
I will make a point though. If you want to look at new licenses and renewals, you're holding those new licenses and renewals at bay for a number of days. Say you had your meeting today, something you got a new license in tomorrow, it would be a good time out before.
It would. I don't know how other boards do it, but I would assume there's probably in licensing you wait till the board meets again.
Except for once a quarter is a long time to have somebody wait when you're tired.
Well, they do that in the private investigation licenses, and they do it in the bail enforcement licenses. Yeah. You have to wait till the quarter.
Well, the commissioner of the title license gets a tentative authority that is ultimately approved by the commissioner.
Now, maybe what we can do is schedule it quarterly. If we get an application,
But I have renewals, it's just the agencies.
The renewals are all going to come in July, and we would have to.
Right, because the renewals are set on a set time every year versus say at the bank all through the months. That makes that a little bit easier for this.
It is, and the other thing I see about, and I'm just guessing, but I'm sure Suzette, as those renewals come in, a lot of them come in the last day or the second to last day or the last hour.
Renewals?
And so to say it's here, and I would assume you would have to say, okay, we're going to continue your license until it goes before.
Otherwise, everything's right.
Exactly.
At the jails or the courts, you can't write.
Suzette, if I could ask you a question. When we get an application for a bail license here, we don't get to see the financials and all that stuff anyways. It would probably be the same as a renewal. So I kind of think, in my opinion, I kind of think it's pointless to look at the renewal. I know Gary probably wouldn't agree with that, but if we can't see the financials and like we can't see it on the original application and all that, what's the point?
But you may have heard something happening during the year, and...
But, I mean, it's just a recommendation, and they're going to appeal it to the commissioner anyways and win it that way. I mean, that's what happens when we turn down a name or something here anyway. So I think a lot of what we're all saying here is that we don't have any teeth anyway, so what difference does it make? I mean, if we give you a recommendation, that's not followed.
Well, so. I think is what Gordon's saying, and I'll add to it, is if we look at a renewal, the only reason we would be concerned to turn it down is if we had access to a file and they said there was this complaint and this complaint and this is what's happened and this is what's going on, a reason to give us pause on reissuing that license. And when we first, right after, when Tara left and everything was, if you remember, there was some issues and somebody said, well, this property comes in and it's valued at this, we all looked at each other and said, I can't believe that property really is valued.
Right.
So some research was done. We had some information in front of us where we could say we have a concern. If we don't know what's happened in their file, we don't get to see their finances. Like, of course, there's nothing we could say other than we don't like the shirt that he's wearing to ever say that he shouldn't have a license.
To pass the ball back, if you miss your renewal on time, so I'm going to come before the board and I'm going to show them your entire financial setup. And that's what you want, to share your own financial setup.
I see your point. Gary?
Well, if it's banned in by law, then you make a recommendation. I don't understand why there would be a question that why you shouldn't be equipped with the information to make that recommendation. I mean, you can't make a recommendation saying, oh, Payless. Oh, yeah, it's okay. I mean, with no other information other than the name Payless. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, what can you recommend or deny based on just a name?
And that's my point.
Exactly.
Well, but Gordon, I know that when I sat on that board, that on the initial applications, we had everything. I mean, we had, the birth certificates of your children.
No, we don't get anything. So it's, right now, there's, I mean, I'm kind of in line with Laura. It's, what's the point of the board? Because they've taken all the teeth out of it. They don't follow our recommendations anyway. We didn't recommend, I mean, everybody knows this anyway, Superior. And what difference did it make? There's been a bond company recently come in that had a name really close to mine. We recommend that name not go through. That name goes through, and lo and behold, they write a $2 million bond, and who does the press call? Didn't call that bond company. They called me.
Exactly the same thing we knew was going to happen.
You're not the one that assassinated him, are you?
Well, if you had every channel and every Fox News and every channel in the United States calling wanting to know about this bond you wrote, you'd kind of be a little bit ticked, Dave.
In fact, since that came up, I would like to bring this up to everybody. Would somebody want to check that bond company? Because they didn't collect 10%.
Which company is that? File a complaint.
All out. But so make
I mean,
a
I would like
note
to see
on that.
The paperwork on that.
Yeah, check the paperwork on that. There was not 10% collected. There was not. They worked
or
on
how
that
it was
for
secured.
Yeah. there was no security. They worked on that for months.
Why hasn't a complaint been filed?
What's
that's
that?
My question.
Why hasn't a complaint been filed with Kathy over this? I mean, if that's your knowledge.
You're right, and I will.
I don't know if that's my knowledge.
I'll accept that, but we'll file it right now.
My first thought was,
well, we all
was
started at zero, because we all were presented that opportunity to make that mistake.
Right.
So.
I'd like to see a follow up on how that
went. Yeah, I don't. I agree.
Because they called it, probably everybody in this room worked on it for months trying to do that, and I know what they had, and I know what they were offering.
Well,
and I know the only company that took it was that new one that was.
Park City.
Park City.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know what they had. I know what they were offering. They wouldn't have got out of 50,000. I they wouldn't.
50,000 was a big number.
Does anybody have a recommendation for all the things that we've talked about?
It's too late in the legislative or in the year to do anything this year. Anything this year legislatively, correct?
It would be too late to put something in the commissioner's bill at this point because it's already made it out of its first committee. That's not to say that, you know, it couldn't be amended and whatnot, but the sponsor of the bill, Representative Duncan, I can't speak for him, but I would recommend to the commissioner that we not put anything new in his bill at this point. So, you know, another legislator certainly could run a bill if you know, can engage the support of a
legislator. Look, I'm not wanting to do it. I mean, I'm pretty busy doing my own stuff.
From the department's perspective, yes, it's too late.
Okay.
I would say I would recommend that we just wait to quarterly meetings.
Wait till next year?
And wait till next year and see what happens.
Well,
maybe in the meantime, let's see if we can.
The work is.
I'll say, let's work on it. Let's work on it. Let's not give up, throw the towel in.
Don't wait till next year because it'll be too late. You need to work on it now and present it to us before June.
Why are we presenting it to you? Here's my question, and I don't mean to be abrasive about it, but we're not really serving a purpose. We are a drain on your resources. We are telling you that we don't feel like we are being productive for you at all. It seems to me the logical thing for the Department of Insurance to do is to take this not as criticism, but as an opportunity to change how the structure is so that it actually is productive and isn't wasting everyone's resources.
If we were to take out the board, the advisory board part of our statute, you would have to sign off on that. So we would need a letter, or the commissioner should have a letter stating that you would like that out from this board. Because I'm not going to dissolve an existing board that was put out there by the industry.
I think what Laura was saying is, can we be a bigger part? Can we be the part that we intended, that this board was set up to be in the beginning?
And they've said no. We've asked them that repeatedly for the last 3 years.
The department is just going to stand still on this. If you want to play a bigger role, then you're going to have to sponsor the legislation.
Okay. And here again, to make anything happen, everybody does need to work together. And if we're saying we want this and you're saying we don't want you to have that, that's a war, and that's something that even if we meet here.
Would the department oppose that? I don't think so.
They oppose what?
If they proposed legislation that gave them more authority.
I think that we'd see opposition. Yeah.
And a board will have the authority a commission has.
A board what?
And a board will not have the authority
right.
of a commission. If you want to go towards having a commission, then you need to talk to the governor's office.
I would just like to make a recommendation. I guess then I would move to make a recommendation to the commissioner that he examine the duties and structure of the board and determine whether that is a fiscally responsible way to proceed or if there are changes that he feels needs to be addressed legislatively or otherwise to assure that the taxpayers aren't wasting money on a superfluous board.
I would second that. I would also. If that was a motion.
That was a motion.
I might think, yeah. I suppose maybe
know what the industry wants, and I'm not going to speak for the industry, but I'm, and I'm, I think the representative, the attorney representative on the board, I'm just speaking now as in my role on the board and saying that we, the purpose for the board has changed since it originally came about. And the duties of the board, and the reasons behind them are perfectly logical, but the duties of the board have been so severely diminished that we really are serving no purpose here at these meetings other than to either rubber stamp actions that have taken place or to continue to talk about the same thing month after month.
So. Well, the motion's been made, it's been seconded. I think we probably as an industry may get it together somewhere before the next meeting.
We're asking for further discussion.
Let's have, is there any further discussion on this motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move that we move to quarterly meetings until then.
Yes.
So the next will be April 10th?
April 10th.
If there are applications or information that comes up between times, I believe that there's provisions in the rule for there to be a vote electronically. So if you would like to send that out electronically, I'll be glad to respond and vote on recommendations as per the statute. Does that help?
I'm sorry.
She made a motion.
I made a motion that we review in between times that we review applications and renewals as they come up and take a vote electronically based on the recommendations.
So we can't vote electronically, but we can meet electronically.
Oh, we can't.
We have to convene an electronic meeting.
You can vote there.
You can vote there, but it wouldn't be just.
It'd be a telecom.
It wouldn't
at
be
your leisure. It would all be
okay.
If
call for joint meeting.
Yeah, that's fine. If we need to do that, then. In between times, then that's.
Craig seconded that motion. And I believe Laura also made a motion to have quarterly meetings instead of monthly meetings. If anybody wants to second that motion.
I'll second.
Gordon seconds that motion. Is there anything else?
Mr. Chair, I just do one thing by way of follow-up. From the minutes in the last month, we've spoken about immigration bonds. And the minutes indicate that right at the end of that, the item discussed revised proposed immigration bond, the second to last sentence, it was noted that action bonding was doing business without a Utah license and or a couple of other out-of-state bonding agencies were doing business without designees. Suzette, that was an action item for the department, and I think we can report back on that.
Thank you.
Great.
I was
going
to catch up before you.
Action bonding is licensed as a bail bondsman in Utah, but they're also licensed as a producer licensing agency, which is where the immigration bonds reside. So they are totally improper licensure for Utah completely.
When you say improper,
they're
properly licensed. just for the minutes of the record.
They have incorrect.
Could you repeat the immigration bond part? Their license as a what?
Property and casualty agency, which allows them to sell immigration bonds.
Okay. And a bail bondsman cannot do that unless they're properly licensed.
Correct.
As a PNC agent.
Correct.
Okay.
Good to know.
Very good. If there's nothing else.
We didn't vote on the motion.
We didn't vote on the
motion? No.
I'm sorry. Vote on the motion that Laura made. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. This means vote on the motion for the quarterly meeting.
I think
that's
we did that.
Okay. So this last vote was on the quarterly meeting.
Motion adjourned. Meeting adjourned. Yeah.
Exactly.
We changed to like a 1 o'clock meeting.
I would actually come to the hall for that lunch.
I thought you were mad at me because of the way you're looking. Now you're going to just go quarterly.
No.
I thought this would bring you back monthly.
I was going to say, if we'd had those lunches all along, maybe we would have objected to the meeting.
Maybe you wouldn't have been so upset with us.
It was very good. The best part.
well next time.
Oh, sure. Oh, no. Just look at it.